Thank you so much, Rabbi Rosner, for the kind words and posting with Sod Achsanya. We thank Rabbi Rosner, the entire community, and this wonderful Kehila for opening up your home and opening up your hearts to the greater Beit Shemesh or Mat Beit Shemesh community. And that we are so privileged to be joined and honored to be joined by our Chaverim from the Boca Raton community, Rabbi Gibber and Rabbi Goldberg. It's really such a pleasure and honor to be here with you. Like so many of you, in a very real and personal way, my life was changed on Simchas Torah morning. Like so many of you in this room, I have multiple children who were called from Hakafos to go to their base, to the front lines. We have two sons in the north, and a beloved son-in-law from Beit Shemesh in the south. Like so many of you, I haven't had a good night's sleep in 2.5 weeks. Like so many of you, I've lost about 9 pounds. Not all has been bad. And like so many of you, I worry constantly. I've been asked more than once, both in my community in Ramat Beit Shemesh, through my work with Tzalash that Rabbi Rosner alluded to, and in various other forums, to share my story, to give some perspective. And I always have emphasized that our story, my children's story, it's not unique and we're not special. We're one of hundreds and thousands of families in Eretz Yisrael going through the same thing. I know this evening was dubbed an evening of Chizuk. I think it's the third or fourth such event that I've been privileged to be a part of. And each one of them I have felt and even to some extent articulated the same thing. I don't feel strong. How am I supposed to give you strength when I'm not strong? I'm scared. I'm not depressed. But I'm scared. And not just for my sons and my son-in-law. How many of you are like me? You look at your children at home. I look at my beautiful grandson, and I have to chase away the dark thoughts. I'm not strong. How am I supposed to give you chizuk if I can't be mechazik myself? And yet, each time I've been asked, I've done my best to say something, not because I feel like I have what to say, but if I can echo a famous comment of Rav Kook, I talk not because I need or want to talk, but because I can't be silent. We are gathering tonight in a way very different than some of the, I'm sure, like in our community and in Boca and in Beit Shemesh, I'm sure immediately after Simchas Torah, there were big Tehillim rallies and tefillah gatherings. And that was one kind of experience. We were still completely shocked by what we were reading. And I assume that all of you, like me, just presumed that probably imminently would be an invasion. And for reasons that are above anyone's pay grade in this room, I assume, we find ourselves at a period of limbo. Do you know that there are 500,000 soldiers right now around the country? 200,000 in Sadir, the standing army, and 300,000 miluimnikim that were called up within a day or two. They're just waiting, we're waiting, and we pray that our leaders have the siyata deshmaya to make the right decisions, not only about what to do, but about when to do it. But we gather in a certain sense of limbo, and everyone, I assume not just me and my family, everyone is asking the same question. When are we going to go in? The soldiers are asking. You don't have to have inside knowledge to know that the generals are asking. Am Yisrael is on Shpilkis. When are they going to go in? So I have a secret to tell you. We're already in. We're already in, because you have to understand that the battle is being fought on two levels. The short-term, immediate enemy is Hamas. The short-term, immediate war is in Gaza. Maybe it'll be in the north. We hope not. But that's the short-term, immediate war. And the short-term, immediate mission is peace. Peace from strength. Peace with security. That is true. That's the short-term, immediate war. And we're waiting to go in. But there's also a long-term war. There's a long-term enemy that isn't from without, but is from within. The long-term war has not lasted 2.5 weeks, but 2,000 years. Our enemy in the long term isn't Hamas, but Sinas Chinam. It's the oldest enemy the Jews have had. It's been our Achilles heel since the time of Bais Sheni. And the mission for the old and long war isn't defeat. It isn't vanquishing Hamas. It isn't peace. The mission of the long war is Achdus, is being together. And the secret weapon that we have in the long war isn't the Iron Dome or the space lasers or who knows what tricks Tzahal have up their sleeve. The secret weapon is Avas Yisrael. And on that war, we're already in. And we've been fighting since Simchas Torah. The front is not the south. It's not even the north. The front is throughout the entire Jewish world. We're at war with what has been the longest enemy that has plagued the Jewish people. And we're winning. We are winning already. As was alluded to so eloquently by Rabbi Gibber, there is no one in this room, I say that without any shred of doubt, who has experienced even a scintilla of the level of achdus that we have seen over the last 2.5 weeks. Not long after we made Aliyah was the terrible summer of the kidnapping and the murder of the three boys and what came after that. And there was incredible achdus in the Jewish world then, and certainly in Israel. And it doesn't even come close to the achdus that I and we are all feeling and experiencing over these last 2.5 weeks. There aren't 500,000 soldiers. There are 16 million soldiers. Because every one of us is not a reservist, but on the front line. And we are combat soldiers in the war for Avas Yisrael, for Achdus, and we're already in, and we are winning. Unprecedented Achdus. Inspiring, unforgettable Achdus. Many years ago, I read a story. I can't tell you, I know all the details, but it's one of those stories that's too good to verify. And there was someone who came from a more Litvisha background, was actually a brilliant young Talmud Chacham, I won't mention the name in case I have the facts wrong, but at least in the version of the story I'm familiar with, who became exposed to, sometime in the immediate aftermath of the Holocaust and the transition from Europe to America, with a bunch of Satmar Hasidim and others from Hungary. He, as was universally accepted in the greatest of Litvisha yeshivas of the day, was clean-shaven. And if he wore a hat, it was gray. Of course, the Hungarian-based Hasidim, very different outlook about many things. But as some of you may know, Satmar in particular, most Hasidim, but Satmar in particular, particularly strident approach to the need for a beard. They hold that shaving, even with an electric shaver, is an Isser D'Oraisa. And Chukas Akam. So probably two Isser D'Oraisa. And this wunderkind of a Talmid Chacham didn't have a beard. And they went to tell Rabbi Yoel, Satmar Rav, and they were complaining, they were mezalzel. And the Satmar Rav, no less, someone known for having passionate beliefs, looked at his Hasidim with love but condemnation. And he said to them, you know, you're right, Taka. One day when this Talmid Chacham gets up to Shamayim, they'll say to him, Reb Yid, where's your beard? But when you get up to Shamayim, they're going to say to you, Reb Beard, where's your Yid? Because no less than the Satmar Rebbe, who had strong views, but he understood at the end of the day, a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. And we are family. I want to share with you a beautiful and powerful insight of the Chasam Sofer. He's commenting on the Pasuk in Tanakh, Hasam Gvuleich Shalom. Make your border peaceful. Hasim Gvuleich Shalom. He explains in his commentary to the Chumash homiletically what the Torah, what the Tanakh is telling us so powerfully is that in life, everyone has a gvul. Everyone has a border, a red line that they won't cross. No matter how passionately they believe about a particular item and they're willing to go to the mat for it and fight for it. But everyone has a gvul, a price that they're not willing to pay, a line that they're not willing to cross. And says the Chasam Sofer, for a lot of people, it's their covet. They'll do everything until it compromises their covet. Then all of a sudden, they're willing to give up. For other people, it could be money. For other people, it could be jealousy. All sorts of things that people, no matter how much they may sincerely feel about something, but they won't go over that line. Says the Chasam Sofer. The Tanakh is telling us, Hasam Gvuleich Shalom. No matter how strongly you feel about something, I'll read you his words because they're too powerful for me to paraphrase. Kisharoa she'im yase kefichach maso yegia mizeh machlokes umeriva. You believe in something strongly. Chasam Sofer also had strong views. You believe in something strongly and you're pursuing it. L'shem Shemayim, because you believe in it. But when you see, says the Chasam Sofer, that if you keep on pushing it, it's going to lead to machlokes, disunity, divisiveness. Azai omer ad po. Tehei gvul. Chachmasi. I think I'm a chacham. I think I know what's right. But if that thing that I believe with all my fiber is right, it's going to take me over the line of shalom. Hasam gvuleich shalom. That has to be our red line. For so many years, for so many generations, we couldn't get it. We couldn't. And it took the most unimaginable, horrific, unspeakable horrors from Simchas Torah, from Shmini Atzeres, to lift the veil and to remind us of these fundamental, elemental truths. Hasam Gvuleich Shalom. That has to be our red line. Yes, we believe in things. We don't always agree, and that's okay. But a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. And if your beliefs, if your positions are going to lead to Pirud, to Machlokas, to Meriva, that has to be the red line. It's something that every one of us sees so clearly today. Where were we 3 weeks ago? And I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else. But aren't we all seeing so much more clearly now than we were? I want to conclude, if I could, the true story that just happened the other day. Ray Rosner was kind enough to mention my work with Salash, which is an organization which didn't discover the IDF on Simchas Torah. We've been serving them for over 10 years, providing emotional and spiritual and religious support for the Chayalim, So many people in this room and in our community have benefited, and Mirat Hashem will continue for so many years to benefit from our services. And just today, as I've done so many times in the last 2.5 weeks, but just today, I spent the late morning and early afternoon with a group of Golani soldiers, all reservists, who were called up and are currently based out of the yeshuv of Eli in the Shomron. For those of you who are familiar, in the best of times, it's not the nicest neighborhood. Eli is beautiful, but the neighbors, not so much. So we all understand if that's true in normal times, given what's going on now in the south, those areas are raging. 8 of the soldiers are guarding the yeshuv in 4-man rotations, and the rest are patrolling the area. Ma'atzar, they told us that just before we got there overnight and this morning, they arrested, in their words, 11 Hamasniks. And they made sure to tell us, don't let the world think that Hamas only exists in Gaza. While we were there, my colleague and the founder of Tzalash, Peretz Einhorn, who's called up himself as a reservist, and he's working in the Rabbanut stationed in Se'ilim, very close to Gaza, but for this he was pulled to give chizuk, and I joined him with the soldiers today. He mentioned something that he had just experienced not that far from his base, if I'm not mistaken. And with this I leave you, because it summarizes everything that I want to tell you, I want to share with you, and I know you're all feeling like me. Near an army base, not that far from where he was, the other night, a large group of Hasidim came, and they brought sandwichim, burger ranch, schnitzels, all sorts of things to give out to the Chayalim. Chayalim, of course, were filled with gratitude. And they asked one of these Haredi people who had come to give them the sandwiches, Eich Karim Lecha, what is your name? To which he responded, Karimli Am Yisrael. Karimli Am Yisrael. We can't forget that truth. Next time someone asks you, I know it'll be a little awkward to say, like at the grocery store, oh, you're a new member, I haven't seen you in shul. What's your name? Karim Li Am Yisrael. If you do that and they don't invite you for Shabbos lunch, don't blame me. A little EQ I expect from a sophisticated crowd. But we need to remember this truth. Deep inside every one of us, we all share the same DNA and we share the same name. Eich Karim Lecha. Ani David, aval Karim Li, Am Yisrael.